Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Hello and welcome everybody again to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, live, not live, but close to live, from Mannheim. Together with me again is Christian, I'm Michael, and as you probably can see, if you look at our hats, for those of you who follow us on YouTube, you will see the video, not just the audio, right? It's the Christmas episode, and it's the last episode in 2025, so it's looking good. If I look outside the window, it didn't snow yet. We're still waiting for the first snow here in southern Germany, but the sun is nice. The sun is pretty, pretty nice.
Yeah, first sunny day in weeks.
Yeah, basically in weeks. And what we're waiting for is Kaiserwetter, Kaiser weather. Two of us go skiing in January, and if it's snow outside and the snow is nice and you have really nice weather, like sunny, right? This is what you call Kaiserwetter. This is what we are still waiting for this year. Let's see if this is going to happen. I definitely need it for skiing, not so much if I sit in the office, to be honest. But yeah, so looking forward to this. So what is today about? First of all, we got two presents. So the company, I bought it, but the company gave us two presents, two coffee cups. We come to that in a minute, what that's about. The main question to you, Christian, is then, what is it that we're planning for today? What is the topic of today?
So typically for such kind of final episodes, we want to have a review on what we achieved and especially what we learned in 2025. But we also want to give an outlook to 2026. What's already clear, what's still in the cloudy, potentially happen space.
Right.
And yeah. So what did we learn?
We are in business for a year now. And there is a couple of things that we learned. First of all, you never have enough resources to actually do what you want to do, right? This is the first thing you learn. that's obvious. But then maybe let's come to the cups here, right? Because that also is related to what we learned. My cup, it has a little nerdy sentence on it, right? It says specialist for layer 8 problems. And I'm pretty sure most of you will be familiar with the OZ 7-layer model, right? And the 7th layer is the UI or the presentation layer, right? And 8th layer is the human being sitting in front of the computer. And the one thing that I definitely learned, I don't want to say I learned it in the last year. It came more and more and more to my attention that it's actually true what people have always been saying and what I've always been experiencing, and now even more in detail, is, of course, if you want to build great software, you need a great team and you need to handle people well, even if we are just 4 people in the moment, right? If we hire more and so on, the problem of people management is there and it's existent and you need to handle it, right? And the better you are with it, the better it is for the tool and for the company. On the other end, the other thing that I definitely want to underline is it's not just about people. Some people do the mistake and say, well, never mind what kind of industry I'm in, right? In the end, it's all about people management, right? That's not true. It's not only people management. It is technology and people management. You need to understand both. If me, for example, if I only understand technology, I'm definitely wrong as CEO, right? And the other way around, if I only know people and do not understand what we are building here, right, I'm definitely also wrong here, right? So this needs to go together. And I guess you have also something on your cup
that
potentially want to share.
Yeah, so my cup says, without engineers, science is just philosophy. And this is definitely the point where we are standing right now. So the three people working on the product of our team, we have on the one hand a science and scientific background, but also working in industry for quite some time. So I would say we did already the change between science and engineering. For an endeavor like we want to do is, and this is basically
taking, things need to go together.
Exactly. This needs to go together. So we are taking the big theoretical issue of a PLM, of the PLM concept that we want to implement in a cloud native, graph based, and so on. You can hear all the other episodes system. And that takes a lot of people who are doers and thinkers at the same time.
Right.
So I think it was Steve Jobs who once said, the doers must also be the thinkers. And this is exactly the kind of people we need at the moment.
Yeah.
And we luckily are.
Yeah. And I didn't give him Steve Jobs credit on our flip chart here, right? This is our little cheat sheet that we're usually not showing in the in the video stream. I didn't give him credit, but it says it needs to go together. Yeah, the thinkers are the doers and the doers are the thinkers, right? And both need to come together. And it's not, you know, it's not about theory versus practice, right? It's also something that I really find is complete nonsense, right? It is always theory and practice, right? People who say, I'm really good in theory and, you know, let the others do the practice, right? And let the others do the realization. They will never live up to their full potential because they have never the feedback, never the real life experience and what it means to build a real life product, right? And the other way around, people who always say, or just say, I'm a practitioner, I don't care about theory, they will never achieve a great new software, a great new product, right? Mm-hmm. They will always follow in the same path or fall back into the same path that are already existent, right? So it must be theory and practice, and we need to find ways to bring theory to life and to establish a feedback loop from the real world, right?
Mm-hmm.
From reality into your, you know, necessary theoretical thinking, right? And just one additional remark about this, because it's currently really something that really bothers me, right, is our German culture. That is, we tend to over-theorize, over-theoretize what we are doing, right? And we should not fall into this trap, right? So
it must
be about real-life experience. It must be doing stuff, right? Building something. It's not just slides and talking about it, right?
Yeah. And not putting the energy in finding the reason why it might fail,
but
in just trying out.
Yeah, exactly. Because people, if they are really pessimistic, right, they will find a gazillion reasons why something doesn't work, right? But they will never be successful, right? You need optimists who are a little crazy, right? If you want to build something and without 100% knowing if it will work, you need to try it out, right? And, you know, a friend of mine once said that the pessimists, they sound intelligent, but they never achieve anything. And the optimists, they sound crazy, but they will build it. They will do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we... what we actually want to be is also part of the learning that we did, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But more in detail, what else did we learn?
So I think we need to distinguish in different parts of learning. So on the one hand, the product.
Right. Yeah.
So we built the first beta. We released the first beta. We built a product. We have 50, 60, 70% of the platform, of the basic platform functionalities.
Ready, and we don't think we have to change it again. Yeah.
Exactly. And for those who are following this podcast for quite some time, you know what we already implemented in the platform. And the next big thing, I think we can talk about it now, is that we want to put variability also in the core of our meta model. So everything is subject to vary. This is an experience we did in our professional life in the last years. And yeah, I think we will be one of the first tools in this area.
That have all of that integrated.
Integrated in the core.
But that's a product. What about the pre-sales part? What did you do?
Yeah, so we had quite some nice presentations at potential customers on the one hand, but pre-sales was more focused on events this year. So we talked about in, I think, two or three episodes ago about the TDSE, which was our first visit on a conference, which worked very well, which was much better than expected.
Right.
And on the other hand, we had the family and friends event. We already already talked about, which was also it was not a sales event in the broader sense, but it was good to for visibility, for awareness of certain people.
It was less a sales event. I wouldn't even call it sales event. It was more like a feedback session of people we already knew, right, and people that we knew closely. That do not blame us for, you know, if one or two things are not really working out in the moment, right? Or not yet, right? So this is why we called it family and friends. We're not sure if we will have a second one of those or if we can next year start with pure and plain sales pitches and roundtables, right? But that was definitely helpful and received a lot of valuable feedback, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the last part is research. So we had our AI research day where we gathered a lot of information, and I think it was even the last episode where we talked about it.
Yeah.
And of course, there are many projects in the pipeline. This is also happening this
additional
year.
Additional research projects.
Yeah, additional research projects, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that's basically it from that part.
Yeah, so product, pre-sales, and research, right? There's still something to happen next year. A lot of stuff, actually.
Company-wise?
Company-wise, so if you look into I called it finance, right? So where's the money coming from, right? So we want to continue, right? And obviously we need to raise money depending, you know, multiple sources. So 2025, we basically financed the majority of things we did, right? With our own money, right? Coming from our own pockets, right? All of basically our savings, not all of them, but most of our savings are basically within the company now, right? So this is how we financed the first year. A little more than that, actually, all the equipment that we had to buy, right? Then we had a research grant, right? This was the first research project, ZIM, Zukunft Innovation Mittelstand, future innovation, whatever, Mittelstand, I guess you can
medium-sized company.
Yeah, whatever it means.
Whatever. Right? So SME.
It's a subsidy program from the government in Germany that we actually got approved later in the middle of this year, basically. And so this is where some money came in. Then we, of course, did already a couple of consulting projects, right? We did some training, we did some consulting, and that will, of course, continue in 2026, right? We use consulting. We don't want to build a consulting company, right? That's for sure. But we want to use the financing coming in from there to co-finance the development of a product, right? So this will continue without a lot of growth, right? We want to, you know, stabilize this and have it just to learn also from additional consulting projects, right? And then we sold the first subscription late, but we sold it in the first year. So the first subscription for next year then, right, where we will start in Q1 with the first POC, where it's about learning and realizing one of the first applications on top of the platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm kind of started stealing your bullet point. So this is your part.
Yeah. So let's go to the outlook. So next year, I guess the projects will take much more space from our time than this year. So as you already stated, we are starting with a POC in January, and our plan is to have one POC per quarter in next year. And the good thing about it is that the POCs will also somehow give us a direction where to finish the platform first.
Yeah.
And what kind of applications, domain applications, will be invented first.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that goes back to your CUP, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without the POCs, right? And I know people, you know, not all people really believe in POCs. We do, because we have to believe in them, right? We want to try things out. We want to co-innovate with the customer, right? And then later, if the platform is, you know, more mature, then we go into live projects, right? Go live projects. Right. So, and what is your CUP saying? And without engineers, science is just philosophy, right? The realization of things are necessary. We can only build to a certain extent ourselves with the thing we know, right? And then we need feedback from customer, direct feedback in really hands-on projects. And this is what we want to do next year with the POCs. Yeah.
Yeah. And then research projects will still play a role. So we will probably see one or two research projects in the field of industrial AI.
Right.
This is the big topic where you get money for at the moment, but which is absolutely coherent with our goals.
Yeah. Our strategy.
We talked about it, that a digital threat system could be the ideal entry point for an LLM, and
or multiple agents, right? Yeah, definitely. So we will see research projects. The ones that we potentially will be granted next year, let's see. Filled in a lot of applications. my best guess is half of them will actually be realized. So they will all play a huge role, but they will be from a time period be longer than the one that we had this year. This year was just 9 months, And the ones that we start next year, they will potentially go longer, 24 to 36 months, depending a little, right? But this will be, this will give us the chance to co-finance with the subsidies, basically, the development of our platform for an additional 2 or 3 years. Right. Really, really helpful. Right. Then maybe talk about marketing. You know, we in the last couple of episodes, we talked very much about product, about experiences, about use cases, right? But we kind of stopped in the middle of the year talking about our marketing strategy and what we are building the company with, right? And how we reach out to our customers. So in 2026, we will definitely see some kind of a bigger social media campaign, right? We do the podcast, obviously, because this is the cheapest way for us to, you know, reach out to people. Right in the beginning, but we will have a social media campaign, definitely. We will continue the podcast, obviously, right? It was quite successful and we want to continue it, and it's actually a lot of fun, to be honest. And we will join 2 or 3 conferences again, right? So there will we will definitely join ProSep IVA Symposium in Frankfurt. This was the one that we had the Startup Pitch Award won last year. We will definitely join again, and then let's see, 1 or 2 additional conferences for next year, right? I need to work on the sales pipeline, right? I need to fill the pipeline up, right? Because those guys want to work on additional POCs, right? So this is what will happen in marketing. And in terms of finance, sales is always the best source of financing, right? So we will sell, hopefully, additional subscriptions. We will sell additional projects, right? We will continue with the consulting projects, right? This is where the money for POCs and consulting projects will be coming in. We will introduce a CRM tool, right? Customer relationship management. And we build it on our own platform, right? Eat your own dog food, right? Important for us so that we can test it out ourselves day by day, every day that we get in touch with our tool, right? This will happen. And then later 2026, I wrote down maybe if we are comfortable with it and if you feel like the platform is mature enough, we will see the first, maybe we will see the first go live project later this year, right? Later 2026. Pretty optimistic, depending a little on the use case, you know, if the use case is condensed enough, right, and self-contained, and we know what's going to happen, right, and we don't have to do a lot of additional platform work, then that's definitely possible. Let's see how next year works out. We will have another financing round then, right? First time with a financing source that is not our own savings. So this will be a pre-seed round for 2026 Q1. We're still raising, guys. So if you guys have some spare money and you want to invest in a very innovative German startup, then just give me a ring. This is still ongoing. We have already found some business angels that want to invest in the company. It's actually pretty promising. And then, of course, as you said, we will see 1 or 2 additional research projects, so research grants, subsidies, right, from the federal government or from the European Commission. Let's see, one of them is actually a European research project, will be also on top of this so that we are able to finance our further development of the tool, right, and hire additional people. So what's on the people's front?
Yeah, so we will start to enlarge the team, especially in engineering or in the development team. Right. So we will have one additional guy in Q1. Definitely, he is already sitting on, in German you say, sitting on hot coal. So he will...
He cannot wait to join us.
Exactly, And he will join us somewhere in Q1. And depending on the commercial success, we would like to see 3 to 5 people in total.
Right, right.
Commercial success, additional people
in total, right?
In 2026.
Depending on commercial success and, you know, if we actually land 1 or 2 additional research projects, right, then we have another financing for additional people. Most of those people will be part of the development team. Actually, all of them. The next 2 or 3 that we are hiring are people for product. We will potentially look for a student worker. Middle of next year, let's see, to help me with admin stuff, right? And maybe marketing, let's see. So in that area, 6 months ago. That's a nice outlook. What else do you want to share for next year? Anything topic-wise?
Topic-wise? Oh.
Let me specify it. What would you say is something you want to see next year that would be year make really successful. If you look back then in 2027, look back to 2026 and say, oh yeah, this was successful because of what?
Yeah, yeah. Of course, it would be if one of the POCs would go live afterwards. Yeah. That would be the greatest success, as well as, a pipeline of additional POCs, maybe even surprises, like a potential customer who is convinced of the platform,
right?
And we sell a subscription without having too much project work on it, because maybe the customer wants to customize on its own.
Or we already have some standard app that you just can use from scratch.
Exactly. Yeah,
because we want to do both things, right? We are flexible, but we also want to deliver standard functionality, right? On both of that, of course, goes together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do agree. I do agree.
And for you?
If we are still existent, but that goes that goes without saying, right? No, I would be really, really pleased if we can hire additional people, right? And the most interesting thing would be for me if we find customers outside our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So our comfort zone is always discrete manufacturing, right? Something, you know, you can assemble, right? A car, a plane, something like this, some automotive supplier. This is, you know, our home turf. We know those people, we know the processes, we know what they talk about. Process industry, pharma, right? Or chemical. This would be really, really cool if we could land one of those customers already next year.
Yeah. Recipes would be a very interesting field.
Yeah. Recipes, laboratory information management, right? In that field, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want to do one big mistake that has been done in the past, and that is a too strict separation of process and discrete manufacturing industries.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have more similarities than people know or people are aware of. So we don't want to just build for discrete manufacturing. We want to build for process as well. And so this would be really nice. The only problem that we have with process industries is we usually don't speak the same language, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not all of the vocabs. I learned a lot in the last couple of months, but still, right? It's not the same language, so there needs to be some translation happening, right? But I'm pretty positive that, that is not such a big deal.
Mm. But the prerequisites here in the area are perfect.
Right.
So,
as I say, Mannheim is at the heart of the German industry, right? You don't have the huge automotive suppliers and OEMs here, but you have smaller suppliers here. You have chemical, you have pharma, you have automation, right? Machinery. You have basically everything in smaller sizes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Pretty diversified industry sectors here. Yep. Right.
So okay.
That was our Christmas episode. And we should have actually filled that thing up with Glühwein. it's actually empty, so there's not even coffee in it. So this is something we will do later this evening, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have our little Christmas party tonight. And with that being said, thank you very much for not just tuning in today, but also tuning in for the last 23 episodes already, the last 12 months. Looking forward to the next episode next year. Will happen in middle of January, maybe directly before we go skiing. Before the risk would be too high that we break our legs and then cannot do the podcast here.
Don't jinx it.
Don't jinx it. Yeah. Anyway. So thank you very much. Have a happy holidays, happy Christmas,
happy New Year,
and then a happy New Year. Talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Goodbye.